Good afternoon. Before we have our quiet time, let's all get on the same page. If you're reading from the Sparkly Book, it is page 476, the second full paragraph. If you're reading from the second edition, it's page 424, paragraph 18. In the first edition, it is page 395, the first full paragraph. In the JCIM, it is page 199, the fifth full paragraph. And if you're reading from the CIMS edition, it is page 401, paragraph 107. Okay, let's take a few moments to be quiet together. Good afternoon, and welcome to everyone who is joining us on the internet. Overcoming the obstacles to peace, so that we might arrive at a point where we can be defenseless with our brothers and sisters, and in the love that arises out of that defenselessness, we can turn to the Father to ask for His perspective of our brother, our sister, and ourselves, and thus bring everything back into a unity. Now, when we ended up last time, we read, "It is almost Easter, the time of resurrection." And of course, that was at the time that this was being dictated to Helen. Let us give redemption to each other and share in it, that we may rise as one in resurrection and not separate in death. This is the goal. This is the end of the journey without distance. This is the reason for the journey. The point is to be able to look at your brother or any aspect of creation without defense, without fear, without judgment, with unconditional love. This is the call. This is the call in your daily life. This is the call every moment, because in every moment you are in relationship with creation. Your attention may be specifically on one thing, or one person, or one event, but it is an experience of relationship. A relationship that needs to be able to be clear of everything impure, everything not in harmony with God's creation, everything where? In your mind. Because out there, there is nothing out of place. The correction is called for in your mind. All four of the obstacles to peace are aspects or concepts in your mind which color everything that you are aware of. And when the obstacles to peace are overcome, are seen for what they are and abandoned because of their uselessness, your true vision, the undistorted conscious experience of creation, becomes yours. Because the veil of your superimposed preconceptions, imaginations, have been released. You, right now, right here, are in the middle of the kingdom of heaven, and you are the sons, the holy sons and daughters of God. You hear me say this to you over and over. This is my greatest gift to you, to reveal to you and to reinforce in your mind the truth about you that it's hard for you to believe and accept and embrace and let in, so that nothing else is presenting itself right there where you are. This is a gift. It is the gift that is transforming and will lift you and support you in your claiming of your divine birthright. Without my doing this, you would be lost. And I am setting the example, because this is exactly what you need to be giving to each other, so that life on earth ceases to be what is called the human condition and becomes the divine condition of reality, without your having to go anywhere or get beyond anything, any aspect of creation. Behold the gift of freedom that I gave the Holy Spirit for both of you, you and your brother, you and your sister, and be you free together, as you offer to the Holy Spirit this same gift. And giving it, receive it of him in return for what you gave. He leadeth you and me together, that we might meet here in this holy place and make the same decision in this holy place of realization, in this holy place of conscious awareness, where the undistorted perspective of mind that is God's perspective is not only available to you, but is now being experienced by you. Because you're not choosing to be smaller, a part of that which has a right to be creative in your own imaginative way, without the attempt to be something on your own, which would have to be something tiny in the face of all of creation. Instead of claiming that, your release of it is your embrace of the whole and the conscious experience of it. Your life here and now on earth is supposed to be pure fulfillment. And the only reason it isn't is because you hold something against parts of it. You hold something against a brother or a sister. You hold something against a society. You hold something against a prevailing weather system. You see? And this is what you have to abandon. Free your brother here. We're now continuing. Free your brother here in this place of awareness. In other words, in your mind. Free your brothers here as I freed you. And as I'm freeing you right now. At the time of the crucifixion, when I was being judged and condemned and crucified, I didn't forget who you were. I didn't forget who my brothers were. That they were my brothers, that we had the same father, we had the same inheritance or birthright, in spite of what everyone thought they were. The lack of condemnation on my part, the spotless holiness with which I regarded every single one, playing out this imaginative drama, held them guiltless. Because you cannot kill the Son of God was not killed. And that's why there was a resurrection. To break the concept that death was permanent and constituted an end. And thus, those who judged me worthy of being crucified and those who crucified me could not be held accountable, guilty of anything because they could not do what they imaginatively believed they were doing. You see, your task is to find the way to look at your brother and hold him guiltless, so that there is no condemnation for him to overcome the guilt of. And in that guiltlessness, that regard which you embrace your brother in, or your sister, that causes your brother or sister to be able to relax and feel his or her peace and embrace potential, we will say, beyond that one's present concept of what is possible in terms of his holiness, his divinity, his excellence. There isn't going to be peace on earth until each one of you dares to be the Christ. And looks upon his brother with the clarity of that brother's divinity and treats that one on the basis of that divinity In other words, with respect, with love. Not just smoochy, cloud nine, cotton candy love, but love that arises out of the clear recognition of God right there where that brother is, and God right there where you are. This is far different from your present concept. But I am illuminating it to you so that you might recognize that there is a contrast, a difference, something new that you can embrace or desire to have the experience of instead of simply settling for the present concept you have of yourself and suffering with it. It is very important for me to tell you of your holiness right now, not after you die, not off in the future, as something you may someday finally deserve. It is important for you to know it now. And, to put it very simply, your job is to present that same fact and acknowledgement to your brothers and sisters so that the world can begin to change, because individuals with a dawning awareness of their divinity are willing to abandon self-protection, jealousy, doubt, anger, mean-spiritedness, and on and on and on. Free your brother here, as I freed you. Give him the self-same gift, nor look upon him with condemnation of any kind. See him as guiltless, as I look on you, and overlook the sins he thinks he sees within himself. Offer each other freedom and complete release from sin, here in the garden of seeming agony and death. That's figurative speaking for, quote, the human condition, unquote. You daily live in an equivalent of the garden of agony and death, the garden of Gethsemane. But you don't have to remain here, because you don't have to embrace the faulty misperceptions of the kingdom of heaven that cause it to look like a garden of agony and death. You can choose differently, and that is the point. And you need to choose differently regarding your fellow man. Because it makes a difference. It makes a difference for me to inform you and remind you and not let you forget that you are at this very moment the Holy Son or Daughter of God. You really are. And your birthright as the son or daughter of God is yours to take hold of at any moment. But in order to take hold of it, you will have to abandon the obstacles to peace. So will we prepare together. So will we prepare together the way unto the resurrection of God's Son. And let him rise again to glad remembrance of his Father, who knows no sin, no death, but only life eternal. Now, I know each and every one of you have in your life circumstances or individuals where there is strife, unyielding strife. And it can be so distressing that for the sake of self-protection, you feel justified in being angered, experiencing righteous indignation, and enough reason to not forgive, to not change your absolute negative perception. That's what forgiveness is. It's you abandoning your bad thinking about another, or about a situation, or about a thing. You, in your anger, absolutely block your capacity to experience the fact that you are the holy son or daughter of God. And that is too great a cost. It doesn't matter at all whether your brother deserves or doesn't deserve it, or whether your brother changes or doesn't change. What matters is whether you are blocking your experience of your holiness. Because I promise you, if you can't experience your holiness, you will not be able to recognize it in your brother, nor will you find the willingness to find it in your brother. And that's simply not intelligent. Together, meaning once we make this decision, together, to not operate on the basis of the obstacles to peace, we will disappear into the capital P, presence, beyond the veil. Now, let's be careful here, because we're not talking about a veil hanging somewhere in three-dimensional space. That will lift, that's hanging between you and reality, meaning you as a body standing there with eyes looking at three-dimensional space. No, the veils are preoccupations, distractions in your mind that keep you from giving your attention where reality is present to be experienced. The veils are mental distractions. They're not hanging between you and anything. They are simply invitations for you to look at something that isn't real and believe that it is real, and thus be involved in a fantasy. Don't to abandon successfully the obstacles to peace is to let go of the distractions. In other words, to practice the holy instant, to become still. And ask Father or Holy Spirit, what is the truth? Beyond the obstacles to peace that are distracting me from experiencing reality here and now, what is the reality here and now? Help me experience it. Together we will disappear into the presence beyond the veil, not to be lost, but found, not to be seen, but known. You will find yourself knowing everything, all of creation, knowing your brothers and sisters, knowing the beetle, and the blade of grass, and the star, knowing it for what it divinely is, and knowing yourself as that which embraces it all, because you are that mind which is the mind of God, seeing all that is and knowing that God is its source. Again, together we will disappear into the presence beyond the veil. What does that mean? We will disappear. Ooh. No, we're not talking about disappearing. We're talking about the concepts and beliefs about what you are and what your brother and sister are. Those concepts will disappear. You will not see or believe yourself to be what you had believed before. And your brother and sister and the beetle and the blade of grass and the star will all register with you as what they divinely are, and you will relate to them from within the framework of what I'm going to call mental holiness. We could say mental wholeness. You see? And so what you were in your belief and the way everything appeared to you in your belief, including you and me, will disappear. And we, as what we really are, will register instead. We will disappear into the presence. The presence of what? Capital P presence, the presence of God, the presence of the movement of God, which is infinite creation. We will disappear into the presence, the oneness, the allness, beyond the veil, not to be lost, but found, not to be seen, but known, and knowing nothing in the plan God has established for salvation will be left undone. This is the journey's purpose. And you will look upon your brothers and sisters and world and universe and universe of universes and everything beyond. And you will be glad. You will be filled with joy. And joy will exude from you and will be delivered infinitely. And you will experience the infinite deliverance of joy from all other aspects of creation. The love with which you love all you will find yourself loved by. Here is the peace of God given to you eternally by Him. Something which had been present all along. But because you did not believe you were a holy son or daughter of God, and believed instead that you were a physical mortal, you missed. You didn't experience, and you weren't even curious to see, because you were so sure you knew what everything was and how it worked. Here is the peace of God given to you eternally by Him. Here is the rest and quiet that you seek. The reason for the journey from its beginning. You see? The whole point is to arrive at the place where creation is what you're experiencing with God's perspective. Because that's your birthright. Heaven is the gift you owe each other. You see? The divine ones that you are owe each other the experience of heaven, the experience of a holy son or daughter of God. It isn't as though it's a debt, but it's the incredible truth that can only spill out of you and bless everyone. You owe it to each other because nothing else can happen except the extension of the gift of the joy of your holiness given to your brothers and sisters in acknowledgement of theirs. Heaven is the gift you owe each other, the debt of gratitude you offer to the Son of God in thanks for what He is and what His Father created Him to be. But mind you, right now, you have to be willing to give this gift to the bastard sitting next to you or across the room or down the street who's just waiting for you to drive by so he can shoot at you. In other words, right now you seem to be in the garden of Gethsemane. You seem to be in the human condition. There's no other place for you to be the presence of love. And the fact that this seems to be your environment is a dominant call for that love to be expressed that can heal and transform it. And so you do not have the luxury of being able to say, I don't deserve to have to deal with this. Why not deal with it? Why not discover your holiness that allows you to be able to look at your brother and recognize his and make the gift of that clarity to him so that he might discover that he doesn't have to behave in the way he's committed to behave because you, for one, are no longer requiring it of him and are opening a door to a new avenue. Now, I need to make something else clear. Not everyone has to wake up in order for you to wake up. You do not have to transform everyone's miserable mindsets before you can wake up, before you can experience the atonement. I am awake. The majority of the Brotherhood is awake. Your guides are awake. The fact that you are not doesn't mean that your guide can't be awake. Therefore, you, even though you're obligated to be the transforming presence for everyone, do not have to wait until everyone awakens before you can wake up. Therefore, this is not an overwhelming task, but you do have to find one or more who has a willingness to be transformed, a willingness to learn, a desire to be free of being a miserable mortal. And you have to let that brother or those brothers and sisters be your reason for choosing to engage in the holy instant so that you might be the presence of the Christ that is the agent for change in that brother's or sister's life. I've said before that I do not look for those who are in the soundest, deepest sleep and challenge their sheep sleep by vigorously shaking them, trying to wake them up. Because I will tell you, anyone who is deeply committed to sleep will use any distraction from it as a justification for going further into sleep. And so I do not waste my time, and you cannot afford to waste your time on what will not work. And give your attention where there is willingness. Give your attention and your perseverance and your commitment to those who are rousing. And tell them the truth, because you see it. And you will not react to their ignorance, because you know it isn't a threat to you. And therefore, you don't need to react to it. But can be the clear presence of mind that is peace and love. Think carefully how you would look upon the giver of this gift. For as you look on him, so will the gift itself appear to be. If you look on your brother as a bastard, then no matter what he does, you will see the effect of a bastard's mentality, even though that has been your definition, which you have applied to him, and in your mean-spirited small-mindedness, you block your capacity to be the presence of the Christ consciousness that recognizes your brother's divinity while he is not recognizing it. And your recognition assures you that you cannot be harmed by this Christed One. And you're giving your attention to the Christed One that he is will reach him. Again, be clear on this. It will register with him if he is already arousing himself. If he isn't, then you will be engaged in spiritual manipulation, high-minded folly. and you will suffer for it. Because you are attempting willfully to do what you know ought to work. Of course, that is a poor use of the word know, because it's pure imagination. You can dare to act when, in the practice of the holy instant, you see and feel the revelation of what to do. The crucified give pain because they are in pain. So, be careful not to correct a brother when you are one of the crucified who is in pain, because your help will be self-righteous and painful to your brother, and will absolutely block any opportunity for transformation to occur. But, the redeemed give joy because they have been healed of pain. You see, you want to get past the obstacles to peace so that you may be healed of pain and be redeemed, and as a result give joy that your brother or sister will be blessed by. You see? Everyone gives as he receives, but he must choose what it will be that he receives. Are you willing to receive crucifixion? Are you willing to listen to the voice for fear that whispers and speaks in your mind and distracts you into malicious thoughts and attitudes which hurt you? Is that what you're going to choose to receive, or are you going to silence that by withdrawing your attention? And saying, Father, Holy Spirit, what is the truth here? What is the truth? Everyone gives as he receives, but he must choose what it will be that he receives. And he will recognize his choice by what he gives and what is given him. And how often do you find that what you've given, in other words, after the fact, how much of the time do you find that what you've given has been sarcasm, even just in your mind, as a mental response to someone else's behavior or words? How much of it is spontaneous criticism? How much of your day is spent in a bad attitude? That's more likely what you would call it. But you will recognize what you've chosen to receive by what you give. And if you're giving criticism and negativity, you know the voice you've been listening to, and you can use that, and you must use that as the sign calling for a different way to look at this. He will recognize his choice by what he gives and what is given him. Nor is it given anything in hell or heaven to interfere with his decision. Whose decision? Your decision. Nothing is given in hell or heaven to interfere with your decision as to the voice you're going to choose to listen to. Nothing can override that. You are in 100% complete control. I am telling you, you holy sons and daughters of God, that you are divine. My voice, the words you're hearing, are the truth. And they are the truth for you to receive, and they are the truth for you to give to each other. The moment there is a willingness on the part of your brothers to receive, give it. You came this far because the journey was your choice. Well, if you came this far because the journey was your choice, your brothers and sisters will go as far as they've gone because the journey was their choice. You can't choose for them. But you can recognize where they are and support them further, if you are not listening to the voice for fear. You came this far, your brothers and sisters came this far, because the journey was your choice, their choice. And no one undertakes to do what he believes is meaningless. So you made this choice because you felt it was meaningful. And in that, you lent your conviction and commitment to the journey. And that is important. What you had faith in, and in order to do this, you had to have had faith in the Holy Spirit or the Father. What you had faith in still is faithful and watches over you in faith so gentle yet so strong that it would lift you far beyond the veil. The veil? The veil is constituted of the four obstacles to peace. It would lift you far beyond the veil and place the Son of God, you, safely within the sure protection of his Father. Here is the only purpose that gives this world and the long journey through this world whatever meaning lies in them. What does that mean, this world? This world, the kingdom of heaven, that is colored by your misperceptions of it. So there is value found scattered among your misperceptions. And the value there is what's real there that can inspire you beyond your misperceptions. And that's the only value they have. But the kingdom of heaven that you are in the middle of, experiencing misperceptions of, that remains eternally constant. Beyond this transition point, they, the false perceptions mixed in with true experiences, the false perceptions, beyond this, they are meaningless. You stand together, still without conviction they have a purpose, you see. You have a conviction that when you're looking out at the world and universe, you have a conviction that it's not the kingdom of heaven, and therefore doesn't have purpose, real purpose. You stand together, still without conviction. They have a purpose, yet it is given you to see this purpose in your holy friend and recognize it is your own. Do you see what that means? It means that your capacity to experience the transfer value of realization is available to you in your relationship with your brother or sister, your holy friend, whom you didn't think was holy, and whom your friend didn't think he was holy. But in your willingness and commitment to find and confirm the divinity of each other, you provide the one single element that will allow the transfer value to register with you, wherein the world and universe registers with you as the kingdom of heaven, and you are home, with a capital H. You can see from this how essential and important your relationship with your brother and sister is, and your relying upon each other to be that which lifts you out of the human condition, the misery, the garden of agony. Value your brother. No matter how often, no matter how awful you are determining him to be, and no matter how awful he is determining himself to be. And work diligently and with commitment with those brothers and sisters who are arousing themselves and are willing to receive. In this way, what you give, what is received, you get to keep. Their receipt of your gift confirms what is true of you, and the blessing is complete. That's what it's all about. I love you, you holy sons and daughters of God, right now. And I look forward to being with you next time.